This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What was it called?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Which is the oddest mashup of a Jay-Z song I've ever heard.
Boy.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tell me Kansas City plays Miami. Just say it. Just tell me what I want to hear.
I don't believe that they do.
They don't?
They don't.
Oh,
earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Still to come, legendary actor James Caan. Plus, from Paramount Plus's Halo, actor Pablo Schreiber. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got ourselves a great guest coming up in about 20 minutes' time. It is the 50th anniversary of The Godfather hitting a theater near you, the premiere of the greatest mob movie, maybe one of the greatest movies of all time, 50 years ago today, half a century ago today, is when The Godfather was in theaters near you, and the man who played Sonny Corleone, earning himself an Oscar-nominated role for Best Supporting Actor, James Caan, will be joining us in 20 minutes' time to discuss it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. The folks, the things we've already discussed on this show, the fact that Tyreek Hill is a dolphin, no longer a chief, and the ripple effect of all of that. We also discussed the vaccine mandate that has kept Kyrie Irving out and was threatening to keep all the unvaccinated Mets and Yankees players out from being participants in home games, has been removed. The mayor of New York, Eric Adams, making that announcement earlier today. So Kyrie Irving is back in the mix, and the Yankees are free to play at home. We'll find out who's not vaccinated when Toronto keeps them all out. When the Yankees start using half their lineups at AAA when they go up to Toronto to face the Blue Jays, because it's a different ball of wax up in Canada. Long story short, as we discussed the top stories in the NFL with Daniel Jeremiah. His mock draft has only one quarterback in it. He dropped Kyle Hamilton all the way out of the top 10. He gave two wide receivers to the Packers. Everything that we discussed, he doesn't know where Baker Mayfield's going to wind up either. He gave an idea about Baker Mayfield maybe having to stick around through training camp to see who might get injured in training camp, to see where he goes. Or the Browns are just going to have to eat part of his salary. Just eat the money.
I think when Daniel was saying that, Rich, you and I had the same thought initially, was that the Browns were going to tell Baker, hey, you're the backup now. That's kind of where I thought.
Yeah, he was saying that you got to turn to Baker Mayfield, and yeah. I thought to myself, okay.
Are you going to tell him to be the backup to Deshaun Watson? Like, absolutely
that'll
not.
That'll never happen in a million years, right. But they'll basically tell him, sit home, sit tight, just don't come in, we'll still pay you.
Right.
You'll get your money, but let us figure out a place to send you once somebody gets hurt. And I'm sure he's probably like, screw that. I don't want to just wind up anywhere, right. You know. And
the Browns have Jacoby Brissett as their...
And he says that the Seahawks, based on everyone he talks to, all those lazy scouts...
taking naps.
Taking naps that Urban Meyer was talking about. thinks that Seattle is very happy with Drew Lock and ready to go to battle with him. But that's also the team that said that they had no intention of trading... Russell Wilson either. And speaking of this one as well, let's just spend a couple of minutes here. Did you hear who's got interest in the Rams and the Rams have interest in him?
Man,
is Bobby Wagner.
I saw that last night.
How about them apples? If you're Bobby Wagner and you want to win a championship, you want to stick it to your former team, you want to win a championship and stick it to your former team. Oof. Those are your two options. What better place to show up than the Los Angeles Rams and play in Los Angeles and play for a team that just won the Super Bowl and go and visit your old stomping grounds and you know the opponents inside and out. And the Rams would just keep on keeping on. If the Rams, and I let's just say they get him.
Okay.
Let's just say they get him, that there's mutual interest. And I don't know how that would fall apart.
The problem is
he's
inside, and they don't really need inside help. They need outside help.
How about they need Bobby Wagner? How about everybody needs Bobby Wagner?
I'm just saying, from a scheme fit, he's an inside guy.
Let's say they figure out how to scheme fit him.
Okay.
Let's just say they figure it out.
All right.
Because the Rams have shown many things that they're very good at.
Figuring it out.
They're one of the greatest figure it out people of all time.
So if the Rams were your son and they had trouble with math and you
and
told
I had a very
them,
long day and had a
and
very,
had a
long,
very
day.
Long day yes. And the Rams collectively were like, Dad, I can't figure well I can't I can't get to this.
Yes.
And you were just like,
yes,
figure it out.
Figure it out.
The Rams would figure,
figure
it out.
Figure it out.
Yeah, the Rams would get the answer.
At what point will people finally discuss the Rams as the legitimate choice to repeat? I don't think
nobody's doing it coast to coast.
Yeah. Nobody's doing it coast to coast.
Yeah.
Because there's so many other teams.
Nobody's doing it coast to coast.
Also, just because the AFC is so
and
stacked.
AFC's so
and
stacked.
Now Brady's back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Brady's back. Oh, and Rodgers is going to be back. Oh, yeah. And those are all the same people. But the Rams in the world where Brady was in and Rodgers was back and the AFC was stacked enough, okay? And Russell was in their own division. The guy that's making the AFC so stacked was in their division, right?
Right.
And Deshaun Watson, generationally great, he's going to the Browns, right? They don't play him, right? That's the and Dak had Amari Cooper, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, he had.
So, I mean, the Cowboys were better than the team that we're seeing right now, right? Rams won in those circumstances. Am I correct? The Rams won in those circumstances, correct?
Yeah, just let me Google Super Bowl champs real quick.
Yeah, go ahead and Google it. Just make sure, confirm for me that the Rams won it all.
At what point will people
consider them a legitimate shot to repeat? Because Donald didn't retire.
Not yet.
Uh-huh. And McVay's not going to Amazon. That was Herb Street.
That's Herbie.
Okay,
yep.
Right.
Val.
Got it. Okay.
Allen Robinson's coming.
Would Bobby Wagner? He's in. Would Bobby Wagner seal the deal for people when they figure it out? Because they're going to figure it out.
Yeah. And then Seahawks fans will tell you how he's old and slow.
Oh my gosh, Seahawks fans! You know? I don't know what would be. I think the Cowboys would be the most unkind cut for Seahawks fans because they just hate the Cowboys. Everybody, you know, pretty much does that. I'm sorry,
should
DJ.
Should we float this by Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Oh no, I think it's already. He already said it. He doesn't want him to go. He already said it. He told Bobby Wagner don't go to the Dallas Cowboys. He already told us that.
With all due respect to Jeffrey Dean, who I love.
Nicely done. Well done. Now disrespect him. Go ahead.
I can't disrespect him. I love the guy, but I just don't agree with what he said there. The Cowboys are angering me, Chris Brockman, and here's why.
They're not doing anything.
They're not doing anything. We got the 7th most cap room available, and that means next year for 19 weeks, I'm going to have to hear crap every week from the mouth breathers about how Dallas stinks.
Mouth breathers.
What are we doing to get better?
I'm a mouth.
What are they doing? There's Tyron Matthew and Bobby Wagner out there just sitting. Do both of those guys have, Chris?
Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, and what does Dallas not have in a long time?
It's been a long time since he got a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, don't shine shoes no more.
Makes sense, right? Yeah. Dan Quinn. Who did Dan Quinn used to coach?
He used to coach in
Seattle.
And his player was Bobby Wagner.
Let's go. What's going on? What's the holdup?
I don't get it.
You know what the holdup is? I'll tell you what the holdup is.
Rich, can you call Steven and Jerry? I know you got it. FaceTime Jerry. FaceTime Jerry right now. Tell him I have questions.
My agent? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Different Jerry? Not Jerry Sibowitz.
No. Right. Okay. Hey, Jerry.
Uncle Jerry.
Kyle in Harrisburg. Let's take some phone calls here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Kyle?
What is it?
Line three. What's up, Mike? What's up, Kyle?
Hey, I'm a huge Nebba fan from the days of Kerry Kittle, Jason Lawson, Scotty Reynolds, and Tim Thomas. I wanted to see if you wanted to maybe make a bet for the game.
Oh, stop.
Here we go. Come on, Kyle.
This is not a Wendy's, sir. I've got house money in front of me. I'm not wagering house money. I've got house money. I will either cash them in and say this is an incredible run right here, or I will stack them even higher, okay? I just know this going into the game. Jay Wright's an outstanding coach. Connor Gillespie is just going to be... I just know it right now. I'm going to hate him 5 minutes into the game, and I'm going to hate him more 10 minutes into the game, and then they're going to start playing Dante DiVincenzo video from 2018, and it's just like, I thought the big ragu went to the NBA. Who's this kid that looks just like him? And I just know that's what's going to happen tonight. Why would I wager on this? If it's something else, I'll just be happy. Why would I do that?
Sounds like you're scared.
Okay, I got you.
I'm not scared.
A second question to that is, you know, if the Knicks had an opening at head coach, wouldn't you want Jay Wright to be that head coach? Because, I mean, he doesn't do the whole one-and-done thing. The guys always play defense. They gel. They're unselfish. They play good team basketball. So
no, and I love Jay Wright. I think when the Knicks did have an opening, I was like, go get him. I think he's fantastic. He is all of that. And Michigan's got its hands full tonight. And I just hope Phil Martelli has got, like, you know, the Philadelphia, we cancel out. You know what I mean? And we could try and sneak this one through, and Juwan gets it done. But, okay, what would you wanted to have wagered? Just for, you know, what's and giggles. What would you have wanted to do?
I mean, I threw some things out there. I've maybe done a different wagers with a bunch of celebrities and other athletes, you know, whether it's a picture for your
yes.
I don't have Instagram, I have Twitter, so a Twitter picture, you know, change for the day with a hat.
What is the town where by the way, James Conn's coming up. Mo Green does not have a signpost or plaque or anything to remember him by say about this tonight.
Nova's a 5-point favorite.
Yeah, please. I mean, it's like a 2-possession game, like coming in. Why would I do this? All right, look, good luck to you. Let's talk tomorrow. call back, okay? Call back.
Okay.
We'll chat tomorrow. Either way, yeah. I want to hear from you, win or lose tomorrow, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Let's do it. Very good. Okay, very good. We go back to our corners. PJ Carlissimo calling that game on Westwood One Radio tonight. He'll be on our program tomorrow. So you can say hello to your guy, Seton Hall. He's my guy, too. He was at Wagner College before in Staten Island, New York. Yes, Seton Hall hired him from Wagner College.
See, I should have known.
So there was a Wagner College on Staten Island and a Wagner High School.
Correct. I went to Wagner High School. I did not go to Wagner College.
Wagner College, very good in hockey.
Wagner College is good in basketball.
Oh. Good in hockey, too. My brother played them.
Who knew?
Yeah.
I didn't know about the hockey, and I'm from Staten Island. I did not know that. Brandon in St. Louis, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. That's line two, Mikey. What's up? Brandon,
give me two.
Hey, guys, happy good morning. I just want to say, first time, long time, big fan of the basketball podcast.
Hey,
thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
And a few things, if I can. First, I'm a big fan of the one mug to rule them all, the Rich Eisen Show mug.
Where'd it go?
Rich.
They took it off the desk.
They washed them at night.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I love my mug, and I'm glad you do, too. Thank you. What else is on your mind?
My wife and I are pregnant with our first kid.
Congratulations.
And, in light of the riveting conversation you and Brockman had yesterday about the metric system,
yes.
I was wondering what advice you would have for me.
Okay.
How far along are you?
She's coming up on 9 weeks, so looking at an October 30th.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing.
You're sleeping now.
Here's the thing. Okay.
Bank some sleep hours.
Let me give you some advice. Okay.
You guys.
Enjoy the last. What would I say?
So summer.
The summer, right? Okay.
A little summer, yeah.
Okay. If there's like a baby moon trip you can take with her, you could do that. Go do that.
Oh yeah, we're going to Disney World the last week of August.
Why would you do that? Because you're going to spend the rest of your life going in there with a baby. Come on, man. No.
Come on.
I mean, okay, if that's what you want to do, I'm just... You wanted my advice, Brandon, okay?
Sorry, Rich.
No
sorry,
problem.
Sorry,
Rich, no, don't apologize. I'm just telling you. I mean, you're going to be... okay. Go someplace where there are no children, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Go to someplace where there are no children with... your pregnant wife, and enjoy truly the last 6 to 7 months of your usefulness for the next at least 2 to 3 years. All right. And then, do you have a dog? Do you have a pet?
Yeah. We have a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Terrific.
Named Winston.
Okay.
Two cats as well.
Two cats. So you have a dog and two cats.
Yep.
So you will soon be downgraded to the fifth most important being in your house. Okay.
Oh, definitely.
So enjoy this moment. Enjoy this moment. But I would definitely baby moon with no children whatsoever. Okay. And 100% be in the room for the birth if you can.
Absolutely. Right?
Be there if you can. Clearly.
Definitely.
And
I would say talk to your child while in this. Talk to it often.
Right. Is it a boy or a girl? Do we know yet? Or 9 weeks? It's too early.
9 weeks.
Yeah, we have no idea yet.
Okay, very good. All right.
Talk to it. Play music, too. That's a great way to get your child ready for the world that's coming.
Very good. Terrific. And then whatever your wife needs, give it to her. Because if you don't, you suck. Okay. And even if you think you're doing it, you need to bunch it up to 10. you know, yeah, to the 10th degree.
I would say if you think you're doing a great effort, or if you think you're doing a great job, you're not.
You're not.
Do more.
Do more.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
And don't play music. Play the Rich Eisen Show.
No, or the Rich Eisen Show podcast, right?
Yes.
Podcast. Yeah, play the future baby. Listen to the dulcet tones of Adam Chudwin bitching about the Chicago Bulls on the basketball podcast. That's a great way to raise your child in the womb. Okay?
They won't want to come out.
Okay? That's We're great. All podcasts
also,
required.
Also, get a noise machine. The white noise machine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Just, yeah, now we're deep. Now we're getting deep.
Yeah, we're deep. I can send you
is
a
that
list.
All? Is
I
that all helpful? Is that all helpful?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I figured I'd take advice from the best dad ever.
Appreciate it. Yep. I mean, you're welcome. Come for my title. So. Come for my title. But first thing, you got to be the best husband ever. Go baby moon where there are no children, bro. You're going to be spending the rest of your life in amusement parks. Don't
your
add
house,
it on.
Your house becomes an
please.
Your house
is right. Congratulations in advance,
congrats,
Brandon.
Brother.
Let's call back. We'll check on you. There you go, Brandon in St. Louis. Thanks, I think Brandon. We did a good job, right?
Yeah, you guys, that was good.
I think we did.
Almost makes me want to not have a kid.
Well, I think.
Mike, you're not. You're never.
Not. I wish.
Could Brandon, you imagine if Mike, if you're lying, you wouldn't know it. You're not.
Well,
first
you're
of gonna, all,
you're a you know, big kid, Mike.
I am a big
thing.
Kid.
Yeah, but
you
never. Like, even if you met somebody with whom you'd even consider doing that, okay. I can't imagine. Like, you're going to be a 60-year-old dad and just change the way you do your life. Like, you know. The whole idea of dropping everything so you can go lay down the cable for an XFL game is over.
I
would say becoming a dad at almost 40 was a gigantic lifestyle change for me because I was so sad.
My first was born when I was 39.
Yeah, and so I same. So
40 is like the age, right? You want to be the kind of 40, 45?
Dude, I saw Tony Randall on the streets of New York pushing his two twins when he was 75.
I mean, God bless him. Mick Jagger.
And by the way, as I'll tell the story, just completing it.
No, no, but Rich has a story about this.
Just completing the story. Tony Randall, and I'm a diehard Odd Couple fan. This is back when I was on SportsCenter, so this had to be early aughts or late 90s, and I was sweating because I actually ran in Central Park. This is when I was jogging in my life right now. That's not happening. And so I come back, and I'm sweating like a pig, but the Odd Couple, as you know, as we're about to talk to James Caan, I mean, the Godfather and the Odd Couple for me. Those are, you know, the Sting and movies as well. That's it for me. Honeymooners, the Odd Couple, the Sting and the Godfather. That's it for me growing up. So I saw Tony Randall and it was like a 70 degree day and he had a perfect crisp button down shirt on and a double breasted jacket and slacks pushing these two babies in strollers. And I stopped him. Even though I was dripping with sweat, I'm like, well, I don't need to shake hands, but I just wanted to stop and tell you what you mean to me. And, you know, and thank you for being you and the Odd Couple. And it just means so much. It's formative for me. And he just didn't stop stride. He just kept pushing his babies. He said, thank you, like Felix Unger. And then he turns around and he said, but I would think you would congratulate me and compliment me on my children. And he kept walking.
So aggressive.
And I thought to myself, wow, that was aggressive. And the second thing is, if I could have scripted what he would say to me as Tony Randall, as Felix Unger, that would be it. Correcting me on how to, you know, compliment him.
So he gave you what you wanted.
It's kind of did. But, you know, when you're here in Los Angeles, I mean, you have no idea who's married to whom and whose child is whose. You know, you got some, you know, George Hamilton walking around looking like, you know, he's 20. You have no idea. At any rate,
no,
let's take a break. Still to come in this hour, we will talk about what happened last night in Miami. Or who knows? We might push that to hour number three because I think this is going to be a dynamite conversation. It's the 50th anniversary of The Godfather in theaters near you. The premiere of The Godfather a half a century ago today. The man who plays Sonny Corleone in it, the great James Caan, will join us next on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We're back with more in a moment. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. So thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show on such a momentous occasion, the 50th anniversary of The Godfather premiering in theaters near you on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is none other than the Academy Award nominated actor, got a nomination for being Sonny Corleone, James Caan, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, James?
I'm great, as you said, just great.
I love it. Happy anniversary. Happy 50th.
Oh, yeah.
On The Godfather.
Well, that was my son who did that picture, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, man, it is just one of my favorites, and I let me just jump right into it. How did you get involved in The Godfather? How did that come across your world?
I did a picture called The Rain People, which was a very kind of art house film that Coppola did when I was 28, so he's a little older than me, a year or so. And I played a football player out of Hofstra, where I actually went for Howdy Myers was the coach. Mm-hmm. So we worked together. We were on the road for like 2 or 3 months doing that, and got along very well. And I don't know, we just stayed friends. And when he got this, he came to me right away, and then, of course, then Paramount got involved. I mean, yeah, and then he had this cast in his head, and we went up to San Francisco with Bobby Duvall, with this kid named Al Pacino, and Brando, and for a corned beef sandwich, we just read around, played around some improvised scenes and whatever, just kid around up there at San Francisco. And that was that. Then he went in, the picture got greenlit, he went to New York to scout locations, etc., and then called me one night and said, "Jimmy," I said, "What?" He says, "They want you to come in and test." I said, "Test what? You got a Porsche you want me to drive around the block? What are you talking about?" So he says, "No, they want you to play Michael." I said, "What?" It's just, and I knew Francis so well, you know what I mean? It's just, and the success of that movie, this is a little added thing.
Yes.
That goes to your question. You get charged a little extra because of this information.
Okay, sir.
That that the success of this of The Godfather, partially, I mean, is the fact that Francis, and this is what I told Paramount before Francis was involved, that he's a Mediterranean Italian. He's not a Brooklyn Italian. In other words, his dad was lead flautist for Toscanini. You know, and I mean, he grew up with music, and his boys at the time, they knew The Cutting Room when they were 3-4 years old. They were in a, you know, in a film room, and so everything was music and art and this and that, and there was none of these thems and those. And I think because it became such a family-oriented film, you know, I mean, it was the people were you were concerned with more than you were the horses, shall we say.
So you were originally, James, you were originally slated to play Sonny from the beginning, and then they call up.
When he called me, Francis wanted me to play Sonny.
Right. And so then now the
I came in to New York.
Right.
He said, come on in, and there must have been 400 or 500 guys lining the walls of this big studio on 59th or 7th, I couldn't remember, with every stupid accent you ever heard in your life. I mean, what are they doing here? Australian accents. I mean, just every actor you could think of was there. Everybody. And as a matter of fact, they tested me for Michael, and then they tested me. Mario Puzo wrote this book called The Making of the Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
And in it he said if Khan had boobs, he'd have played Kay.
Well, you have range, James Caan. There's no question about that. So then how did you wind up finally getting Sonny? Because Pacino read for Michael.
Yeah, because Francis, wanted me to play the other role, but which was completely wrong. And, you know, Francis has his ideas, and that's why he's Francis. You know, and Al was, he was something you had to squeeze out, you know. In other words, the character of Michael, you had to get him to that point where he was a leader and a boss and a crime guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Al did. And they actually got in a fight, you know, sometime because Al had it all pretty well mapped out in his head. And Francis maybe wanted him to move faster. I don't know, but they'd argue a little bit. And by the way, they didn't want Brando either. Oh, great.
Well, get into that a little bit, James Caan. What do you mean they didn't want Brando?
I mean, I don't know, because they all, I don't know. They must have had comic books or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it couldn't, I heard Brando, I wanted to do the picture if he would have done like a postcard.
Not
I don't
sure.
care. I mean, you know, he was the guy. He was great.
James Caan here on The Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so then who was your inspiration for Sonny, James? How did you decide to play him?
Well, believe this or not, you might believe anything, Rich. You're so gullible.
Thank you, James. Appreciate that.
And the first scene we did was in a Genco olive oil company, you know, when Salazzo comes up there and, you know, we don't mess with dope, you know, or this and that.
Right.
And then Brando goes down, and they shoot him outside the thing. Well, in that scene, I was kind of lost. It was the first day of shooting. Lost in the sense that I don't study at night. I'm going to do it the next day. That's not fun. I mean, I like to let everything come out of character, and not to be an artist, but again, yes, to be an artist. So I had this feeling of what I thought Sonny should be like. I didn't know exactly. I didn't have the physical stuff or the speech pattern or whatever it was that I find. And I went home that night, first night, and I was shaving because we were going out to dinner or something. And while I'm looking in the mirror, I was a lucky guy because as a kid, I mean a young guy, I was friendly with a lot of these comedians. I was a kid that went along with like Rickles and Don Adams and all those guys. And Rickles, I mean, he just drove me nuts, you know. And he was so funny. And I looked in the mirror and I started being Rickles, you know, like, you know, that's a nice suit when you have it clean and burnt, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just So I came in the next day, and I was Rickles. I made fun of Al Roddy's suit. That's going to rot on you, you pig. You know, whatever I did, I just did like Don Rickles. And believe it or not, I hope you believe it, and I hope you haven't hung up. Have you?
I'm hanging on your every word, James.
I like you there, buddy. Stay where you are.
Okay. I'm here.
I just started being Rickles.
So you're
I mean, had all day. And Francis, God bless him, he let me go. You know, he tells everybody, like, now, you know, he called me just, this was a couple of years ago. He was at a, he lost a lot of weight. And he let me improvise a lot.
So you're saying the now. Are you saying your inspiration for Sonny Corleone and the way that you played him?
No, well,
was Rickles.
In other words, he's telling people now, like, Bada Bing was never written. And Bitty Bop and all of that stuff was never written. But it was because Francis gave me the comment to just go, do. And someone said, what does Bada Bing mean? I don't know. He says, but they say that in his neighborhood, let it be, you know.
Yeah, you got to put one in his. You can't just walk up. You got to put one in his head. But boom, like that sort of
thing. I mean, yeah. So, and then all of that. So, Francis, and then he yelled at me for saying, you know, you could have been a multi-jillionaire if you had that thing. Stamped or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you got a T-shirt or a bumper sticker or something that, right?
I said, why didn't you tell me 50 years ago? You know, you're such a smart guy. Anyway, I did all of that, even with stuff on Sunnyside where I grew up, where, you know, it was like a guy would break something of yours, take it out of here and break it, and he'd throw money on the floor. Like when the camera guy, that was also improvised. When I came out of the wedding, walking by the FBI guys in the car, and I come down, I'm walking back into the wedding, and there's a guy there taking pictures, a bunch of guys there.
Right, yeah.
You know where, just before I go back in, and I grab the camera, and I throw it on the ground, I smash it, which made the property guy really happy, because it was obviously an expensive camera. And I looked down at it, and I just instinctively took out like $40 out of my pocket and threw it on the ground. I walked in, because as long as you paid for it, everything was okay.
James Caan here on the Rich Eisen Show.
You know what I mean? He let it go.
Yeah, James Caan here on the Rich Eisen Show on the 50th anniversary of The Godfather. Is it true that Brando needed cue cards sometimes for his lines, James?
He did that when he had long speeches. No, Brando was... He was just great. I loved the man. He's a good guy, you know. Being around him was really special, because any one of those guys that said he wasn't, you know, to their liking or something, they were lying. They're full of crap. They spent their lives trying to be like him, especially all those English actors. You know, he was just fantastic and very sensitive and just a good guy, just a regular guy.
When did you know, James Caan, that this was going to be a generational hit, something that is in the lore of movie making, The Godfather? When did that hit you?
We're all pretty selfish, Rich. I mean, I remember the first night when they showed it, and then we went to Sherry, and I got so pissed off at Francis.
Why?
Because there was this scene that was like... I don't know. I mean, it was like 8 pages long between Bobby and I before I go to Al with Bada Bing and all that. You know, he says, we'll find out who's going to hit Sulazzo. I mean, the cop.
Yeah.
And it was like a long scene. And Francis cut it out and just left me the last few lines before. And, of course, we're pretty selfish, to be honest. And even if I'm not honest, I'm pretty selfish. That's all I could think about. And everybody said, you were great. I was saying, like, kiss my butt. I don't know. And of course, I got over that. But that's how selfish we are, you know. I just forgot.
Wow. So.
Then, I don't know. It opened a certain amount of theaters. They tried to do everything wrong, and then they pulled them back and put them back in to another 1,200, and that's it. It's just, you know, won the best picture of all time again with the AFI, and the cast was great, and we had a good time. See, that's what makes success, too. If you're having a good time, especially like your shows were fun for the people who watched them because you guys seemed like you were having a good time.
We do.
And the same goes to, I believe that people in the audience are enjoying themselves because they can't put their finger on it. But if they can tell that people are liking what they're doing up there, I mean, it's just some artistic bullshit. Excuse me, I'm cursing.
You're all for it. I love it. It's you know, and I just remember when I did see Godfather Part Two, you know, the end of it, right? Where you're back around the dinner table and the scene is, you know, where Michael's about to inform, you know, your father that he's gonna go enlist in the army. And you know, and you're like, break your father's heart on his birthday, and it's just what a way for that movie to end. I just remembered you being back, and I was excited because, you know, I all saw the toll booth scene, and it was just great to see you back on that screen. You know, yeah. So last one for you. What do you think of when you see that toll booth scene again?
I try not to. It was pretty scary. I mean, I'd be honest with you, if there were no girls on this set, I wouldn't have done it.
What do you mean?
No, because there were girls there, I had to do it. What am I going to, you know, I got an image here. Anyway, I did it. He put 147 squibs on me, in my jacket. Now, these squibs are, they're brass, with gunpowder in the middle of this little V that they cut into this one-inch long piece of brass and put a sack of blood over the top of that V, and they sew it into your clothes. And they have to make sure they're pointing out because it blows the material out, it blows everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually use those very same squibs on the car. They put them in the car and put Bondo over it and paint it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's strong enough to blow the Bondo out of the car, you know, when they fire it. And they fire it by putting a nail on this nail board, by putting a nail that's attached to another electrical thing. And each time it makes contact with another nail, each nail represented one of the plugs. So we had over like 5,000 all told. A couple thousand, I forgot what it was, in the car and in the booth, so I, like I say, I wouldn't. It was pretty hairy, so it had to be like a dance, you know, a music. You had to get your hands moving
right
a certain way because it would blow a hole in your hand. And like I said, the girls would make me do that.
James Caan, you are the best for doing this. I really appreciate it. You know, you're one of my favorites. This movie is truly my favorite, certainly in the genre. And
could you get me a job hanging out with you guys?
Anytime. Anytime you want to.
Out your picks and everything.
Oh, yeah. We could figure it out. For the football.
First thing I want to do is get Baker or Mayfield. Who's going to take this poor guy?
I don't know. I'll tell you what, James. It strikes me as he might have to either go to Seattle or wait it out after the draft to see who'll take
him. Seattle, I think, is all that's left. But I think there were two guys out of the whole league that might have made a play for him when he was threatening to leave.
Right.
And then you look, he's had 57 interceptions in 4 years. You know, it's like, oh, well.
I know. I have no idea, but I'll stay in touch. We'll have you back on whenever you want, and I appreciate you spending time on such a momentous occasion.
All right. Say hi to all the guys. Say hi to the Boomer. I haven't seen him either. And
I will do that. And, I love it. You take care of yourself, James
Caan.
Right back at you. Thanks again. That's James Caan right here on the Rich Eisen Show on the 50th anniversary of The Godfather. There he goes. Rickles was his inspiration
to make it
inspiration
funny.
For Sonny Corleone, and
he was see that right? Can't you see that a little bit?
I didn't want to interrupt his flow in a way. Why would he have $40 in his pocket just to throw down at the ground?
At the wedding, I don't know. Yeah. He just had money.
Maybe
in
he just
his
had
pocket.
Money in his pocket.
I mean, he was doing other things at that wedding.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And again, I just remember the scene that he said that got cut out or mostly cut down is, you know, when, and again, the character of Michael Corleone, I mean, when you watch the movie and you start watching The Godfather, you have no idea that the one guy that's going to have the through line through both films or just, you know, that the storyline of the one kid who's not in the business and the one kid who's been separate from the business, who's legitimate, and the, you know, Don Corleone wanted him to stay as such.
Be a senator.
Senator Corleone.
Right? Just he wanted a son that just wasn't in the business at all, now was going to be the one to avenge his father's shooting by shooting
McCluskey
the cop,
yeah,
and the gangster who was muscling in on the property or muscling in on their business. Spoiler. That he's the one. Well, yeah. I mean, again,
if you ever watch
50 years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's yeah,
but
yeah,
what a scene that is, where Michael Corleone or Pacino is about to make his heel turn, and there's no turning back when you do that. And Sonny knew that and was basically saying, you know, when you go up there, you got to put one right in his ear and ba-boom, you know, like you got to do that. And he's saying that he's channeling his inner Rickles when he's doing that.
Is that a little comic relief?
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's great.
I never knew that. And of course, you know, we'll have James back on when he wants to come on. We could go Brian's song with him.
Yeah.
Misery being hobbled by Kathy Bates. Yeah. And the movie that my kids would say, hey, Dad, you had him on? The father from Elf.
Right. I mean, he's so
a Christmas classic.
He honestly should have got an Oscar for Elf. Like, honestly, he really should have. He's so great.
And then James Caan going out the door. Baker Mayfield, who's going to take this poor guy?
I can just see him like, you know, hey,
just like Sonny.
Hey, who's going to take
this
poor guy?
You got to sign your contract, because otherwise, year four, ba-boom, put you on right in your head.
Bada bing.
Ba-boom.
Oh.
Fantastic. Pablo Schreiber of the new hit show. I mean, it's just out, and it's already season two is already in for Halo. The famed video game is now a new television show on Paramount Plus. He will be joining us in hour number three. More of your phone calls, 844-204-RICH. Note it all. I cannot believe we're this far into the show and a major NFL news story hasn't broken. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Favorite character in Godfather 1 is Waltz, the movie,
the movie mogul.
Okay.
Yeah, he has a lot of great one-liners.
Khartoum, four hooves, like beautiful. His horse Khartoum.
He's really going for it,
right?
Actor.
And you know, and he's the one who winds up with the horse's head in his bed. Answers the phone. Waltz is listening. Tell your father I ain't no band leader.
I've heard that story too, kid.
That's right. I mean, right. You know, I ain't no band leader. And then, Godfather 2 is Frank Pantangeli.
Oh, I see. Hyman Roth
is a great character, too.
He taught all those guys. I mean, that was his school that made those guys act, a lot of them actors.
Yes.
The Actors Studio. I mean, those guys don't exist without Strasberg. Strasberg is just amazing as Hyman Roth.
Luca Brasi from the first movie.
I like Clemenza. Too,
Clemenza's just know. he's like
he's making the sauce.
Yeah,
he has
comedy.
He has a good one liner. Hey, yeah, he's a little comic.
Why do you call that girl? I'm telling you, love her. And he's like making fun of Michael.
Right.
But how about you know? Nobody talks about Fredo. He's kind of like the Bruno. Nobody talks about Fredo.
In part two, it's like
nice Encanto reference.
Thank you, sir. And that Fredo's character, Mo Green, is a great character, too.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Rocco, the actor Rocco.
He's really
who played the music executive in That Thing You Do as well. Mo Green is just fantastic.
There's a lot.
You know, can't get a drink at the table because of what Fredo's doing with the waitresses two at a time. And so he is amazing, but I and the actor John Cassell, played Fredo, he died very early in his life. I think cancer killed him. He was married to Meryl Streep, or he was dating Meryl Streep.
They were married. They were married for a long time.
And he was in five movies. Because Francis Ford Coppola put him in a lot of his films. Well, he was in five movies. They were all nominated for Best Picture. Both Godfathers, 1 and 2. Dog Day Afternoon, which he was in with Pacino. The Deer Hunter. And then the fifth one is a movie that I don't think a lot of people have seen. It's definitely one of the fewest mentioned Francis Ford Coppola films. Gene Hackman is the star in it. There are some cameo roles in it by Robert Duvall and a very young Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
I believe Shirley of Laverne and Shirley was in it as well.
Yeah, Cindy Williams.
Cindy Williams was in it. And it's a movie called The Conversation.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Which is truly, it's one of those 70s movies, slow-moving movies that are really intense, and those are the five movies that John Cassell was in. Of his short,
just batting a thousand.
I think he was going to be in Apocalypse Now, if I'm wrong.
I don't know.
And he didn't.
Then he wasn't alive. He passed away.
Yeah, he passed away at 42.
I mean, unreal. And he was Fredo, and you know him telling Michael at the very end of Godfather 2, "I'm smart." I mean, that scene where he's like, "I'm smart." He's telling me he's smart in the boathouse. I mean, my God.
Part two, I've said this, it's got what I call the three magical things.
Mm-hmm.
Cinematography is insane.
Mm-hmm.
The story is
remarkable.
Like beyond remarkable. And then the actors, the acting is the best ensemble up to like, it's like Sopranos was always like that. Secession, like that. That movie has those three.
Well, I mean, you take a look.
It's insane.
I think it's, you know, very kind of you to mention Succession in the same breath as all this. But we've just talked about both films and the cast, and we didn't even mention De Niro plays the young Vito Corleone.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
that's part two. I mean,
oh my gosh,
that's what just adds to.
It is the greatest sequel ever. Nothing comes close. I know you mentioned Empire Strikes Back, with all due respect. It is a great sequel to an iconic film in an iconic series of movies, pop culture wise. But there is no greater sequel than Godfather 2. And the fact that you would make another movie after the original Godfather, and it is such a perfect film, and it is so remarkable that you're like going to put it on the line and do it again for the second. you know, that's why everyone was kind of disappointed that you're going to make a Godfather Part 3.
Well, now they've edited the.
I need to see it again. I've only seen it a couple of times and not many years.
They've done a re-edit of the three of them together, and it's amazing. It changes
it's also
three.
It's like 8 hours.
It's like, exactly. And I've actually, it just, they, I think they did it recently.
Joe Mantegna's terrific in it. Oh,
Andy Garcia.
And Andy Garcia's in it as well. Right. Who I becomes, mean, you know, I got to tell you, though, favorite character, I guess, in one would be, again, it's Waltz, the movie.
So maybe we don't go main characters, like the offshoot
guys. Okay, so you got to do offshoots.
Well, I just went offshoot.
That's what I mean. Like, so, like, you can't say Michael or Sonny. Like, you're going to say some of the, like, the side guys. Mo Green, Waltz.
Oh, God. Tessio is Abe Vigoda.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal.
Can you get me
and
off the hook?
Tessio for all time.
And the answer
for all
is
time,
no.
For all time's sake.
Clemenza's my guy. To leave the gun, take the gun.
I like Clemenza,
I've
too.
Said that line more than I like.
Clemenza is also a great name for a dog.
And then
yes.
in Godfather Part 2, it's without a question Frank Pantangeli, who winds up turning state's evidence and then doesn't. You got to see, again, just tremendous. And then the senator.
Oh.
It's Senator Geary from the state of Utah, because the Corleone family has moved to Lake Tahoe. He's played by the actor G.D. Spradlin, who was in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And I believe he was also the coach in North Dallas 40.
Oh, really?
See, really?
As well. Mm-hmm. I think he was the one who played Tom Landry character in North Dallas 40. Oh, yeah, man. He was in Apocalypse Now. Yeah, he wound up in a tough spot in Godfather Part 2.
Harrison Ford was in, he had a cameo. I call it a cameo because he's just one scene.
In The Conversation.
And in Apocalypse Now, he plays this in one scene. I wonder why he didn't make
I don't know, because he was too, because he was, I don't know.
Because he's in American Graffiti, which was another one that was a Coppola.
You take a look at Harrison. Lucas. Harrison Ford in all those movies, and then, George Lucas and Spielberg got a hold of him.
Because wasn't he like a carpenter? He was like doing some work in the building or something, and they asked him to read, and he just crushed it.
Yeah, he crushed it.
I think that's the story for...
Most beat-up actor of all time.
It's true.
Nobody gets the crap beaten out of him in films quite like Harrison Ford.
Pretty good.
Frozen in Carbonite, pretty good. Right?
That's true.
Snakes.
I mean,
right? Even as the president of the United States on his plane, yeah. Right? He gets beat up. He's the president. He gets beat up as the president. Who gets beat up as the president?
Even when he's flying his own plane.
I know. That one's too soon.
Too soon.
Who's the? Is he the most beat up actor in the history of acting? I mean, Tom Cruise has taken a beating.
Clint Eastwood.
Tom Cruise.
Honestly,
Tom Cruise took a beating.
Indiana Jones taking a beating. Han Solo's taking a beating. Who's getting? He just gets beat up. Did he get beat up in Witness?
He did.
You know what I mean?
He did.
Regarding Henry.
Exactly. And then of course the Fugitive. Oh my God! Richard Kimble got his ass kicked.
He jumps off of a dam.
Into the dam.
I mean, come on.
You're pointing my gun at me.
I don't care.
Harrison Ford. Yeah, man. How did he not wind up in The Godfathers? We could ask him that. And then his answer is probably, I think it turned out all right. It turned out all right. Pablo Schreiber, hour number 3, coming up.